Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 42 through 48. As Jesus went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Thank you, God, for these stories of our healing Savior. They give us hope. The Holy Spirit led me to create a sermon series designated to get us through the chaos of the hullabaloo that was, that still is, the 2020 election cycle. She inspired me to prepare sermons based on the letters in the word chaos. We started out with the letter C for calm, a reminder that even though the storm is raging all around us, we are not alone because Jesus is in that same boat with us, and he promised he would get us safely through to the other side. My goal was to help us find a foundation for keeping calm even as things began to get windy and worrisome. I told you last week election week was going to be wacky, but I didn't think it was going to be this wacky. I never imagined it would take 5 days before we would get the final results of the presidential election. Waiting is hard. It's nerve-wracking. But let's be glad we didn't have to wait 12 years to receive our longed-for answer. Like the unnamed sister in this week's scripture passage, she is here amidst our chaos to let us know that just as she came through her time of trial and trouble, we will too. Once again, we see right in the middle of the chaos, there is hope, because right there in the middle of the chaos, there is Jesus, ready and willing and able to make everything all right, to offer hope and healing. Good words for the letter H in chaos. There are two kinds of chaos going on in this scripture. First is the chaos of the crowd that accompanied Jesus. Because of his healing power and prowess, people had been flocking around him to see what he would do next. They also liked to hear his teaching and preaching, and they puzzled over his parables, but mainly they wanted to see him perform a miracle or two. Jesus could hardly go anywhere or do anything because of the crowds that followed him, noisy and nosy, pressing close to him with all kinds of demands. The disciples tried to keep them socially distanced, but they came ever closer anyway. On this particular day, the crowd had seen a desperate father approach Jesus. The man, Jairus, blurted out that his 12-year-old daughter was dying. He begged Jesus to come and heal her. So Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Through the crowd, there crept a woman. She was trying to make sure no one saw her. She wore her mask, glad to know it kept people from recognizing her. Because if someone had seen her and realized who she was, her plan would have been blown to bits. See, she wasn't supposed to be there. She wasn't supposed to be seen in public or mingle with the mob, no matter who the special guest speaker was. She embodied the second kind of chaos. She had a disease and an unrelenting bleeding disorder that rendered her unclean. Leviticus 15:25 says, "If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean." The law decreed she had to stay away from everyone else because she could make someone else unclean if she touched them. Therefore, she couldn't go out and be among people. She couldn't touch anyone. She couldn't go to synagogue. This had been going on for 12 years, 12 long, lonely, agonizing, painful years. No doctor had been able to help her. They bled her dry monetarily. They gave her quack cures. "Why don't you try injecting some bleach?" One even told her, to go stand at a crossroads with a glass of wine in her hand, and someone would come up behind her and go, boo, and she would be cured. Yeah, right. Yet even in her isolation and loneliness, she had heard something that gave her a glimmer of hope. She'd heard about this rabbi named Jesus who went around curing everybody of all different kinds of diseases, even people possessed by demons. If he could do that, maybe he could cure her too. The problem was, how could she get to him? If she showed up at one of his rallies, the people who knew about her problem would more than likely point her out, screeching, unclean, unclean, lock her up, and they would drive her away. Who knew, maybe Jesus would react the same way with disgust and revulsion if she tried to confront him face to face. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Wouldn't that be awful? So since she couldn't go directly to him, she decided the best thing to do was to sneak up behind him and touch his clothing so he wouldn't know she had touched him and he wouldn't call her out, but she would still be healed. We're not sure where she got the idea that all she had to do was touch the fringes or the tassels on his clothes. Way back during the desert wanderings, God had told Moses to tell the people to make fringes on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a blue cord on the fringe at each corner. The fringes would help the people remember and obey all the Lord's commandments. Nothing is inferred that the fringes had any special healing power, but that's the thought that was in this poor woman's mind. All she had to do was touch that fringe and she would be healed. We all have our own little superstitions. When we were little, we believed step on a crack and break your mother's back. I still say bread and butter when I'm walking beside someone and we split up to go around a pole or other obstacle in our path. Superstitions die hard. For this woman, her private superstition spurred her to go where she wasn't supposed to go and do something she wasn't supposed to do. Her desperation was even greater than her superstition. This Jesus was her last chance for healing and wholeness. I've been thinking about her all week long, how lonely she must have been, how sad she must have been. She was living proof of the lament in the psalm we heard earlier. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror. My soul is also struck with terror, while you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. They grow weak because of all my foes. Did anyone from her synagogue or did any of her neighbors ever at least try to reach out to her, to offer some comfort to her, to send a card, bake cookies for her? She endured for 12 years what we've been enduring for almost 12 months now, quarantine and isolation, masking up, aching for human company, unable to touch or be touched, confined. Did anyone ever try to contact her? Well, finally fed up with her lot, she decided no matter what it took, she was going to go out and she was going to get her healing. Jesus was in town. Jesus was a healer. Surely he would heal her. So she set out with hope and determination. She found herself in the chaos of the crowd following Jesus and Jairus, hurrying to save his daughter. Great, she thought. Everyone's distracted. No one's paying attention to me. Now's my chance. She wove into the crowd, and at last she was right behind Jesus. Over his shoulder hung a fringe with a blue cord. She reached up and touched it lightly with one finger, ready to spring away before he felt anything. Perhaps she brushed through the hanging threads and smiled as she felt them tickle her finger. Then she felt the healing rush through her. At once, immediately, no waiting, the blood stopped just like that. So many emotions whooshed through her. Now she could drop her mask and let people see her. Now she could go back to the synagogue and worship with everyone else, even the ones who shunned her when she was sick. Now she could be part of the world once again. What a wonderful, glorious feeling. She was about to whirl away to begin her life anew when suddenly Jesus stopped. So abruptly, she all but ran into him. Someone touched me, he said. Well, he was right. Someone who shouldn't have touched him had touched him. She stayed quiet, hoping she could still sneak away without having to confess to him what he'd done. His disciples were baffled. "Anybody could have touched you, Lord, but nobody did." "No, somebody touched me." What was the big deal? The big deal was that he felt the healing power leave his body. The big deal was that it was a touch like no other. I wonder what that felt like, the healing power leaving his body. Was it like the time I stuck a fork in a toaster and got a big jolt? Take my advice, don't try that. Jesus could tell the difference between an ordinary brush and a deliberate touch of hope. He wasn't calling the woman out in order to scold her for trying to steal the heal. He wanted to see her and hear her story and give her a blessing to make the healing complete, because it wouldn't be complete without his acknowledgement of the moment. Afraid of his reaction, she fell down before him and confessed what she'd done. She was trembling the while. Would he take her healing back as punishment? Would he put another disastrous disease on her? Of course he didn't. He took her hand and helped her up and said ever so gently, "Your faith has made you well. Not your superstition, your faith. Now go in peace, my daughter." He never called anyone in Scripture daughter, but she and he had formed a special, unforgettable, unbreakable bond. And now she could shout the final verses of Psalm 6 with joy and conviction. "Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and struck with terror. They shall turn back and in a moment be put to shame." He had turned and saved her life. He heard the prayer she didn't pray aloud and accepted it and answered it. He called her out so everybody could see she was healed, and now they didn't have to shun her anymore. There's another cool thing about Jesus here. He was on his way to an urgent call to help Jairus' daughter, yet he took the time to stop and talk to this woman, to hear her story and rejoice with her in her healing. Jairus must have been jumping up and down saying, "Come on, come on, I was here first, come on." But Jesus turned his focus on this one woman to help her. He called her daughter to let Jairus know that this daughter's life mattered just as much as his own daughter's did. There was enough healing for everyone. This woman had waited long enough, so Jairus could wait a little while longer. He had to keep calm in the chaos and trust that everything would turn out all right. And so it did. Jesus did make his way to his house, and Jesus resurrected Jairus' little daughter. No one is saying that the results from last week's election are going to instantaneously heal our country of all its ills and woes. It's going to take more than one election and more than one person to make that happen. It's going to take us, all of us together. It's going to take us learning a lesson from the unnamed woman in this story. We're going to have to take some risks, just as she did. We're going to have to creep out of our set molds and our quiet little folds to go out into the chaos and reach out to the Savior. He is the only one who can heal us and give us hope. I love Jesus' healthcare plan exemplified here. There are no forms to fill out, no hoops to jump through. All you need to do is make a simple request, "Lord, please heal me." And Jesus says yes. Always yes. There are no probing questions. Are you legal? Do you have a pre-existing condition? What's your past health history like? The patient says, "Lord, if you want to, you can heal me." And with utmost compassion, Jesus replies, "I do want to heal you. Be healed. Go in peace." Your only copay is to go and tell other people what Jesus Christ has done for you. What a marvelous health plan. Simple, effective, free. Sign me up. You have to have hope in chaos. You have to hope everything will be all right in the end. As I said last week, some of us will be elated at the results and some of us will be deflated. Our healing isn't going to happen with just the touch of a tassel, although it does start with reaching out to Jesus. Next, we have to reach out to one another and cross the divide and swallow our pride to offer and accept sincere efforts towards reconciliation. Imagine how the woman in the scripture would have felt if she told someone about her misery and someone else had said dismissively, "Well, you're just going to have to deal with it." That would not have been helpful at all, would it? How about if someone said, Tell me what you've gone through. Tell me how you feel. Empathy is a wonderful trait to have. It's a way to feel of trying to feel what someone else feels and to get on the same page with them. Someone could say, now you know how I felt 4 years ago. That wouldn't be helpful either. What if instead you said, because I know how it feels, I want to help you process everything that has happened. This is a time to listen and affirm the pain that some may be feeling. Someone wrote online, not now, but soon. It will be time to lift our gaze to those who voted differently than us, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members. And when we wonder about them, we can begin that work of understanding them and show them that they too have a place in the nation that we are building, a nation where everyone belongs. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, that your words may give grace to those who hear. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. And 1 Peter 3:8-9 reminds us, finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. And I would add that you would also be a blessing. There is hope in the chaos. We've seen that from our formerly sad, now glad sister. She decided to trust Jesus and take her chances that her superstitious belief would be validated. Yet there was also an element of faith in her superstition because there was no evidence that Jesus had ever healed anyone that way before. He didn't want her to think she didn't deserve to have health and healing. Everyone does. Legend says this woman was Veronica, who was there as Jesus was carrying his cross to the crucifixion site. When at one point he collapsed, she wiped his face with her veil, and it left an imprint on the cloth. She has shown us how to hope. There are many breaches and barriers separating us still, so now we need to work together to break them all down and make us truly great again. The letter H in chaos tells us all we need to know about this story and our future. There was a hemorrhage, there was hope, there was healing, there was a hem, and there was him. Amen.
When by his grace I shall